Perfect.
Hi, hello everybody, and welcome in again to another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, episode 33, this one titled, for a very special reason, Taylor's Version, and it's not because I'm a Swiftie, believe it or not. Luckily, I don't do this thing alone. Let's bring in our cast of characters. Let's bring in the best man, the senior open world guru, and a man with the finest beard I've seen this hour, at least. Colin Best, come on in here, buddy.
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm putting my Denny Hamlin die cast here. Sort of a tribute to a fallen hero over the weekend as he failed to advance to the championship four. Glad to be back with you for the penultimate show of Racing Refresh Happy Hour 2023. It's been a blast this entire season, Logan. And we have a very exciting guest this week on the Racing Refresh Happy Hour. She's taken some time out of her day. Logan, let's just jump into it. Let's just get her on the show, man.
Why not? Let's go ahead and do it. Let's bring in Above the Yellow Line's own Taylor Kitchen. Come on in here, Taylor. Thanks for joining the show. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, we're very well. We're even better now that you chose to spend your Wednesday evening with us. So God bless you for that.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I love what you guys do, and it's always fun to be here. So thanks.
Well, thanks. You got hooked up thanks to our favorite Canadian, old Adam Carabine, who I believe is on a plane to Phoenix as we speak. Lucky,
yeah,
that lucky mamma jamma, as Ben Rhodes would say.
Yes.
So good for him. Taylor, I got to ask you a few questions, but first let's bring in our producer who's going to push the buttons, and she makes me look better than I deserve every day of my life. My better half, we call her producer Peggy. I call her Peter. Her name's Peyton. Peggy, come on in here.
Hi, Peggy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. I get to say it this week. Ryan Blaney won. And usually I don't get to say that. So,
Mom, Peg, where's the energy?
I made a whole headband that I forgot at my house. So when he wins the championship, I have a whole headband already made.
I love it.
And I will debut it then.
All right, well, we'll see you here in a little bit. Well, of course, we'll get your hellos for later this evening. We close it down, closing time style, and maybe your predictions for who's going to win the championship, but I think you might have just told us. We'll see you later, producer Peggy. She can yell at me, trust me. She just doesn't do it on the air.
Yeah.
She's a big Ryan Blaney fan. Taylor, I believe you have that in common.
Yeah, I mean, I started off as an Elliott and Blaney fan. That's how I got into the sport, just fan-wise. And I love how Blaney interacts with his fans, and especially in the media. He's always a great interview. So, yeah, that's definitely how I started out. When my sister was into the sport, too, she was a Ryan Blaney fan. So that's kind of how we connected with NASCAR as well. So,
you know, that takes away my first question, because I was going to ask how you got involved in the sport, how you became a fan. Does it go back to just Blaney and Elliott and all that?
You know, a little further, my grandma has been a fan of the sport since like the early 2000s, and she was a Dale Jr. fan and a Dale Sr. fan. And, you know, I was watching one day, well, every weekend I should go back to this, is we couldn't touch the remote. We weren't allowed to change the channel. It was her TV to watch races. Like, that was it. And so one weekend in 2016, I caved and I watched a Texas night race. Kyle Busch won it, but Chase Elliott was in that race. And I was like, all right, cool. Chase Elliott, young gun. Let's root for him. 2017, I went to my first race and I was hooked. But really, my grandma is the one that started the addiction for me. And look where we are now. So can't thank her enough for that.
Well, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. NASCAR is one of those sports that it's always passed down, right? Mine comes from my father. He's not really into the sport these days, but he certainly was. He was a huge Mark Martin fan. And that's how I got introduced to it all. And it's been a 12-step program ever since.
Absolutely.
So what are some of your long-term goals? How did Above the Yellow Line get started? Let us know on that.
Yeah, I mean, Above the Yellow Line, really, it's a very personal thing to me. And I know everyone says that about their passion projects, but I got really sick in 2019. I was bedridden for about a year and a half. And I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I was like, all right, so what am I passionate about? And that time I was really big into NASCAR. And I was like, I don't have a community in my small town of where I live in Ohio. Like, nobody talked about the sport. So I was like, I kind of want to make my own community. I kind of want to do my own thing. Every content creator out there, I was like, I didn't see anyone doing kind of what I was wanting to do. That was like age, female. I'm like, let's be a voice. Let's do this to create a community. So I created Above the Yellow Line in 2021. And since then, it's just kind of taken off. Right now, we're partnered with TobyChristie.com. He's partnered with Racing America. So have a good partnership there. Toby's been awesome, helping me, you know, develop my skill set and everything like that. He's been a great mentor. And so yeah, kind of how Above the Yellow Line started, and it's just gone crazy since then. So.
And then what are some of your long-term goals going forward? What's the creme de la creme for you? What's the crystal ball? What's the magic moment?
And I think that's what's tough. You know, I would love to be like a Caitlin Vencey. I would love to do a pit reporting. And that, when I started off before I got really sick, is what I wanted to do. And over time, and with the opportunities I've had, that's changed. So I would love for Above the Yellow Line to be a major like NASCAR media outlet that's, you know, fan led, but has serious reporting involved in it. But also behind the scenes, I'm working in the PR communication world for Team Hornaday Development, AT Racing Development, and I'm loving that side of it too. So if I could do best of both worlds, working with the drivers behind the scenes while also doing the content creation, that's the ultimate goal. I know maybe it might not work out at the end of the day, but right now I'm fortunate enough to be able to do all of it and have a living off of it. Ultimate goal is doing something with both of those, but on a much larger scale.
And then what's the best part of the gig for you? What's your favorite part of the gig?
Oh gosh. I think for me, I love being at the track. You can report from home, and that's been great. And that's how I started. And that's how I do most of the time. Cause you know, travel is pretty expensive. But when I'm able to be at the track and you're talking directly to the sources and you're shaking hands with the folks at NASCAR and the other reporters, and you're making those connections and networking, that's so much fun for me. And it drives me to want to be better and to want to learn more. I always crave knowledge, and being able to talk to those folks each week and maybe get a comment that maybe somebody else doesn't get because we're at home watching like NBC, Fox and stuff like that. Like, that's always really exciting to me, digging for the stories and finding things. So that's, I think, my favorite part of the gig. And of course, too, I have a great community with ATYL. I love what I've built, whether it's Discord, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. So everyone who's been able to tag along has been awesome. So that's been cool.
And then finally, kind of my final question for you, and then I think Colin has a few. What's the worst part of the gig?
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's right. If I ask the best, got to ask the worst, right?
I love that. God, I mean, I don't want to sound cliche. There's a few worst parts of it. I don't have a schedule. Like, my schedule is so weird because my drivers are back in school. So like, I might get texts at like 11 PM with them asking for help about stuff. And I'm like, cool. We're working. Let's do it. Or if there's news that breaks at like 7 a.m., I'm covering it. So I'm really, sleep is not an option in this job, Logan. It's really not. But you know, we do what we do, right? So that's probably the hardest part of it. I think the online discourse too, not to be cliche with it, but you know, with it being a woman in the sport, you have to try to prove your worth. And I kind of just hate that. I'm just doing me. So if someone's like, don't talk, I hate that you're a woman talking about the sport and that kind of stuff. I'm like, I don't care, but it still kind of sucks because I'm like, I don't want that. So that's one of the bad parts of it, but mostly the time. There's a lot of weird timing stuff.
Oh, my sleep schedule is not good. All right, Colin, you had a question or two. Let's kick it to you, my friend.
Yeah, Taylor and I kind of come from the same experience. We both were at Race to America at some points in our lives. She's currently doing work with them now. I was there before the pandemic and on and off since then. But, you know, I remember my first day at a racetrack, and it didn't matter if it was the big track or a short track like I used to go to. You're kind of starstruck. You're kind of in awe. Like, you've been growing up as a kid watching races on TV. It didn't matter what it was. It's four tires, two tires, as long as it had a motor and some wheels, it was great TV. When you first got to the track, did you have that same, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this? And then second part of that question, who was your biggest person that made you just kind of starstruck that you met, who was just like, wow, I can't believe I just met this person?
Oh, great questions. So I went to the track first as a fan back in 2017, and I was just blown away because I wasn't huge into NASCAR at that point. I'm a little late to the game. But that opened my eyes to, like, oh my gosh, like, cars are cool. Motorsports are cool. Like, it's all awesome. And when I was able to meet the drivers, like I think 2018, I met like Noah Gragson and Todd Gilliland. And like, I met some of like the truck series drivers, and like, that was really cool. And I think at that point I was starstruck because all these folks were celebrities to me, right? Like, they were all like big names, and I'm like, this is crazy, regardless of truck or cup. And then I think reporting at the track for the first time, for me, I did the Mid-Ohio ARCA and truck race last year. That was my first time reporting. And that was a major moment, like talking to Matt DiBenedetto. And I was like, holy crap, like, I'm talking to these big names, right? This year, Michigan was the first cup and Xfinity races I covered. And I went in and I was nervous. I wanted to throw up. I was so scared. I was like, there's going to be all these big reporters there. I don't know. And I didn't get starstruck, which is the thing that, like, I was confused about. Like, I was just there and I was working amongst other folks, and I was there with the drivers, and that was cool. I think one interview that I did, though, that kind of took me aback was I talked to Brad Keselowski after the Roval race, and he's been a driver that I'd wanted to interview for a long time. Just, I like how he approaches questions. I like his insight. And so being able to ask him a question after the Roval, that threw me back, and I was like, I'm doing this. Like, I'm doing the dream. So that was, I think that was the moment for me.
Sterling Marlin was mine.
Oh, that's so cool. That's awesome.
So, yeah, Five Flag Speedway. He showed up for a one-off race in the Pro Late Models. And, you know, I just walked right up to him in his trailer, said hi, said I was a huge fan growing up. Probably was kind of unprofessional of me because I was actually there doing a job. But by the end of that practice session, he was leading practice, top of the chart at Five Flag Speedway. And I got to tell you, he still got it at that time. It's kind of sad to see what he's going through now, but you wouldn't know that if you saw him turn laps at Five Flags. It was a phenomenal moment for me.
That's awesome.
All right, well, I'm glad that we got the chance to know you a little bit better, and, you know, on a more personal level. But I believe we're here to talk about some racing. I think Absolutely. There's a lot of things that have happened. I don't know. You know, Richard Childress is doing things. It happens. So there's a lot to chat about, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Colin, are you ready?
Yeah, I got my shrine here.
Yeah, I'm just so enamored with the beard game tonight. It's flowing just fine, man.
It's getting chopped off tonight. You know how your beard grows out like this way and not down? I look like a chipmunk. I got to be honest with you.
It's all good, brother.
I'm just like walking around like with a bushy tail. I don't know. But my fiance says it looks great. I don't. I think I look
awesome. And confidence is key, as Demi Lovato once asked, what's wrong with being confident? And let's go to a few comments. Matt Marr, that's right, a Demi Lovato reference, Taylor. How about that?
I love that.
Matt Marr says, hello, how are you, Matt? There's plenty to talk about, brother. There's plenty to talk about, and we're going to talk about all of it. He's another favorite Canadian of ours. If I'm anything, I am enthusiasm, and I am Mr. Charisma, really.
Taylor, while he's going through the comments, what did you think about a little graphic that we made referencing Taylor Swift's 1989 album?
I was floored. The way you guys promoted this show, like, it made my heart happy. I was so happy about it. I used to be a major Taylor Swift fan. I went to her Red concert back in the day.
What do you mean used to be?
Well, I still love her, but like her newer music, I can't, I don't like. I love country. Right.
She turned her back on country music and it's awful.
I know, but like I still support her. I love her. Like the Eras Tour, iconic. Made me a bit of a fan again, but no, the promotion was awesome. I literally was showing my whole family. I was like, guys, look, this is so cool. So thanks for that.
That is all thanks to producer Peggy. She's a graphic extraordinaire. She made all those. She's wonderful. Thank you, Peggy. She's absolutely wonderful. That's all her. She makes us again look far better than we actually are. Yeah. All right. So what do you say we do our weekend review?
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad. Hi, Adam. Be safe on the plane. And it's time for our weekend review. Let's do it. All right. So let's start with the Xfinity Series. Justin Allgaier gets the win to get himself in there. But, you know, that's not really the huge story coming out of the Xfinity Series for some reason. Believe it or not. Matt Maher says, once a Swifty, always a Swifty. Well, you know, look, I can listen to Tim McGraw all day long, but I'm not listening so much to the more recent things.
I'm in my full career right now.
But, you know, Colin Arson is the slam of screen doors, I'm telling you, bro.
I don't know. This conversation makes me want to get in my getaway car.
Hey. Well, what we're going to have to do here is shake it off and get back to racing, for God's sake. All right, so there was a Sheldon Creed controversy. Don't know if you heard about it. And Taylor, since you're our guest, I'll start with you. What'd you think of that finish? And then what'd you think of, you know, I thought Andy Petrie was going to get ready to do the five-knuckle shuffle there. That was, I mean, it was pretty heated. What'd you think of all that?
I mean, my big takeaway, I mean, the finish of the race was crazy. I mean, we expect nothing less from the Xfinity Series races at Martinsville or any cutoff race at Martinsville, I should say. So I thought it was wild. In terms of how everything shook out after the race, I didn't understand it. I personally don't feel like Sheldon Creed did anything egregiously wrong to warrant the responses that were thrown his way. I know that there were some things on the track that he did that didn't make the team happy, but he's also in a must-win situation, and that was the whole name of the game for him going into this race. For Austin Hill, he could still point his way in, but of course, as the laps closed down, the situation became very apparent that it was him versus his teammate versus Justin Allgaier, and it was a bad situation that ultimately should have been handled much better after the race. I was pretty shocked.
Completely agree with you. I don't understand why they're so upset at Sheldon Creed. You got to do what you got to do. No risk it, no biscuit. I understand that Austin Hill got out on the short end of that. And that's, I totally respect his frustration. I even appreciate his candor.
Yeah.
But the comments, and Colin, I'll come to you on this, but the comments from RC Pop Pop, as he's affectionately known in the family, he said he's had a lot of drivers, but none more stupid, essentially, than Sheldon Creed. And I went,
yeah.
Colin, what'd you think of that? You know, Richard Childress is not holding back in his older years. Let us know. What was your thoughts on that?
I mean, he also employed John West Townley and Ty Dillon. And I mean, these guys were far worse drivers than Sheldon Creed ever was. And to be honest with you, every time someone leaves RCR, old RC is just bah humbug about it. He was mad when Harvick left. He was mad when Clinton Bowyer left. I mean, if Kyle Busch retires, I mean, he'll be mad about that too. Following history, I think it'll work for himself. But to be honest, Sheldon Creed did nothing wrong, in my opinion. That was just racing. Like, he went for the win. He went for not only his first win in NASCAR, but for a spot at the championship four. I would wreck my own mom to win that race. There's no one on this show right now who would do anything they possibly could to win that race to advance to the championship four. So I have no problem with what Sheldon Creed did. I did have a problem with Austin Hill sort of like spoiling the fact that Sheldon Creed's going to JGR next year. Like, I understand he's mad, but I feel like people were trying to work that out, you know, as the weeks come up and say, hey, Sheldon Creed's coming to JGR and it's going to be a great time. And look what he can do in a Toyota. It's going to be great for everybody. But I mean, Austin Hill just seems like one of those guys who, like, I peaked in high school. I just, like, my best was in high school, and, like, I'm just wishing for the glory days. He probably drives his Chevelle to the high school football field with his and thinks to himself, God, I used to run up and down these fields.
You're talking about potentially the best super speedway racer in this sport right now.
Well, I understand that, but he's an a-hole. He goes about it the wrong way.
And number two, I think he did us a great favor by spoiling where Sheldon Creed is going. It's November, people. It's time to let us know. If you don't have your plan set, I mean, people are thinking about Daytona like last month. It's time. Austin Hill did us a favor. We should send him a steak dinner, all of us. Toby Christie, above the O-line, Racing Refresh, let's send him a great steak dinner because you know what he did? He gave us the scuttlebutt, Colin. He did the right thing. He's a
professional race car driver. You can afford a steak. I ain't sending him crap. But I will say, like, to be honest with you, I feel like I lost a little bit of the last remaining respect I had for RCR as an organization. This is an organization who, outside of the Kyle Busch signing in the last offseason, has pretty much done everything wrong that they possibly could. I think Sheldon Creed is a great driver, and just given time to develop, he could be a contender in that two car. I really do think that, but I just think everyone is behind Austin Hill at this point, and they're going to just – it's kind of like Vince McMahon with The Undertaker. Vince McMahon was always on The Undertaker's side. The Undertaker was always on his side. It was sort of this relationship that worked well together. That's what it seemed like for RC and Austin Hill. And Sheldon Creed obviously found himself in a better position than he would have been if he stayed with RCR going to Joe Gibbs Racing. So I have no problem with him leaving. It's sort of like Tyler Reddick when he left RCR to 2311. That's a way better position for you to set yourself up for the future than staying with RCR. So I just think old man RC is just bah humbug, burr, 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 look at me, burr. Because I don't know. I just there's a lot of things I want to say about RC, but I want to show professionalism here on Racing Refresh Happy Hour. And we also have a lady on the show today, so I want to do that as well. So everything else we'll do that at last call. Well, that's a teaser, my friend.
I'm not saying nothing RC said was correct, but I don't think I think you got to give a little grace. Look, at the end of the day, it's a human sport with human emotions. Did he get worked up and say something he probably shouldn't have? Sure. You know what that means in the Xfinity Series? That's a good thing. You know why? Because we're spending the first 10 minutes talking about it. I just don't personally. Well, hey, everybody loves Esterson. God, Sheila, thanks for tuning in. And so, I personally disagree with you. Do I think it was out of line for him to say it? Absolutely. I'm not condoning that. But like to say it's the last bit of respect you have when you're sitting there with a Denny Hamlin diecast. I think that is just it's richer than RC.
Wow.
I just don't personally – look, I'm not condoning anything he said or anything Andy Petrie did or anything like that. What I'm saying is it's a human sport full of human emotions. Therefore, you're going to have moments where you flip out when you shouldn't. And should he apologize? Sure. Did he? But there's bitterness and human emotion in all this because RC wants to get RCR back to where it was. Like, you don't want to lose Tyler Reddick. You don't want to lose Sheldon Creed. You don't want to lose these guys. And so, yeah, there's some moments of like, you stupid freaking fracking mother trucker. Like, it's just human emotion. And so I think that for you personally, as a Denny Hamlin guy, to say, well, I lost the last bit of respect I had for RC for when Denny Hamlin is out here acting like showing his whole crack, if you catch my drift.
Denny Hamlin is looking wrong.
Detrimental is rich.
Denny's great. Denny's great.
He's great or not great. I'm just saying that the standards are, well, the World Series is going on right now. Let's call them a double.
I worship the ground Denny Hamlin walks on, all right? If I was in the same room as Denny Hamlin, I'd just bow down to the man, like Vince McMahon or, you know, like I am not worthy, like Wayne's World type level of respect.
I can promise you he's not that great because, I mean, he ain't even got a championship to his name. Oh, sorry.
Yes, 3 Daytona 500s. That's more Daytona 500s than you have, Logan.
Well, that's great. I have cerebral palsy, sir. I shouldn't be the standard. All right, NASCAR Talking Opinion News with Stephen Jones says Kyle Busch should never have signed with RCR. He should have went back to Hendrick and drive the 25 car. I don't think Kyle Busch fits the Hendrick. You know, Hendrick is, and I say this with all due respect, they're the greatest organization probably that's ever been. There's only one other in the same breath, and that's the OG Petty Enterprises. But Hendrick is, they're robotic. His personality doesn't fit their scheme of things. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he has toned it down some, but I'm sure old Rowdy's in there someplace. So I don't know if going back to Mr. H would have been it. And frankly, who do you boot? You can make an argument that these four, and I know this year is going against that, but these four might be the most consistent four that Hendrick has ever had. I know that's stunning to say, but usually it's been a two-man show where on normal years, when people aren't snowboarding and breaking vertebrae, on normal years, these four can compete like for no other Hendrick race team ever, as far as all four of them. That's just my personal thought. Keep your comments coming. We do appreciate it. All right, let's go to the Cup Series. Blaney and Byron earned the final two spots. Ryan Blaney, we can call him Mr. Clutch. He had a Blaney breakthrough, if you will. He got it done, and he's getting hot at the right time. Colin, I'll start with you on this one. Look, he's peaking at the right time. I know Penske's been in a major slump, but just similar to last year, Joey Logano didn't have the greatest season of all seasons when he won the championship. He got hot at the right time. Are we seeing a repeat of that?
I think we are. I mean, we last year's championship, we looked at Penske as sort of declining. Yeah, they still were the fastest Ford team because SHR did take a step back a little bit at towards the end of last year, but Penske was still the guy. And now we spent pretty much all summer, pretty much since Taylor went to Michigan, right? Roush Fenley Keselowski Racing was the team to beat in the Ford camp. They were the fastest Fords all summer long. And through the playoffs, they didn't make the cut. Now, granted, I think this was the hardest chase format that we have seen in a long time since the inception of the championship four. It was cutthroat. Every single one of the 16 drivers who made it, except Ricky Stenhouse Jr., maybe you can make an argument for Michael Mandel, deserved to be there. Honestly deserved to be there. And any one of those other 14 drivers could have won the championship, in my opinion. So for what Ryan Blaney had to do, going to tracks that statistically he wasn't the best at, short tracks are, for him, are no bueno for in his career. I mean, look what he does at Richmond. He's hardly a factor. But last time he went to Richmond, even though it wasn't a playoff race, he did great. He was solid. Now he goes to Martinsville. I mean, he was the fastest car pretty much the entire afternoon. Dominates Martinsville, gets his ticket punched to the championship four. And now, yeah, you're riding high. You're going into your Super Bowl on what feels like a four-game win streak for him right now. And pretty much the sky is the limit. I haven't seen the betting odds so far, but I'm pretty sure Blaney might be one of the favorites to bet on.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. I think he's getting hot at the right time. Taylor, what say you? Is he getting hot at the right time? I'll read this comment real quick. Between Byron Larson and Blaney, I don't think he's their favorite anymore. Grandin Bell, in his opinion, is the underdog out of the four. I don't disagree with you on any of that. I think this is one of the tightest championship fours we've had in recent memory. Taylor, there's a lot to unpack there. Go with it.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say around the same thing, too. I mean, I think you'd be a fool to not go into this race thinking that Blaney's the favorite. Clearly, with how his car was last year, he could have won the race. And I do agree with Junior, Dale Jr., when he says he thinks Blaney held back on those final few laps. I agree with that. I think he could have won the race. Joey Logano would have still won the championship. But I think Blaney is the favorite going into this race, but you cannot count out Larson. He's gotten a hot at the right time. He, of course, won a race in this round. Same with Bell. Byron, of course, I mean, kind of faltered during this round of eight, but he's been the most consistent driver this season, the winningest driver this season. So you can't count him out either. I do agree thinking that Blaney Bell is kind of the underdog going into this. If you look at the statistics for Phoenix, he's not as strong as the rest of the contenders. Granted, though, if you look back at how Phoenix was in the spring, if you look back at it last year, they were all top 10 contenders. They all finished inside the top 10 or the top five. So this is, in my opinion, and I would agree with this, the strongest championship four in terms of competition that I have seen in years. Like, this is not a runaway by any means, and I'm really excited about this.
Completely agree with you. Matt Ditch says, let's go, Blaney. So appreciate you for tuning in, Matt. I assume that's going to be your championship pick. All right, let's talk a little bit more about Martinsville before we get on to kind of predictions and happy hour headlines and all that. Byron, he suffered through the heat to hold on to his championship four spot, but I want to focus more on do you think Martinsville's getting better? The short track package has left a lot to be desired in recent memory. Do you think after this Martinsville race that we're making progress? Taylor, I'll start with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, Goodyear brought a softer tire compound, which allowed us to get some more rubber on the track. So we had a little bit more grip there. And I thought it raced really well, especially with the heat. I think it helped a lot. I mean, you saw the tire wear, whether these crews posted pictures on Twitter or whatever. These tires were rough afterwards, but they did their job. I still think that we need to consider more horsepower. I am always an advocate for more horsepower regardless, but at these short tracks, I think we need it just to get the type of drive that we need. But it was not as frustrating of a race as we've seen with these Jensen McCars at these short tracks the past, I guess, now two seasons. So I definitely think it was a step in the right direction. Still a lot of work to go, but I was pleased to have what looked like the old Martinsville back in some capacity.
All right, Colin, what say you? Are we making progress finally?
I think we are. I think the heat and the softer tire really played to it. I mean, I would all be for horsepower, but I think what most teams are going to say is we need to take a look at the shifting problem, having going probably from 5 to 4. Because, Al, you see it. You saw it last week. If you miss the corner, people do it on iRacing too. You can absolutely miss the corner on iRacing at Martinsville, drop a gear, and just go. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't hurt you at all. So if you just take it from 5 gears to 4, I think we'd see a much more traditional Martinsville. But also, I think when the racing is always better in the Cup Series with this next-gen car as we approach the hotter months, because these cars with the hot track, you have less grip. And Martinsville was unseasonably warm. It was like 83 degrees or so. So I think it's too soon to tell. I think we'll see with Phoenix, because if Phoenix is a snoozer, we'll definitely know if this car still has a lot of work to do. But if we see what we saw at Martinsville, then I think we'd be heading in the right direction.
Well, our fingers are crossed on that. And with that, it's time for our happy hour headlines. God bless Neon. We sure love it here. Eric Almirola officially retires, goes part-time. I don't know what the actual word is. Smithfield is leaving the sport as well. That is not great. All right, let's talk about it. So he's officially stepping away from full-time driving is the thing we've been going with the last 4 or 5 years, because NASCAR is like wrestling with retirements. They're not really retirements. Taylor, I'll start with you. What do you think? Eric Almirola made his decision finally, or made it public. How do you feel about him stepping away, at least from full-time driving?
I think it's time. I think there was a concern that he was going to win the Martinsville race, and it would have been like, I'm ready to go back. Like, we're going to retract the retirement yet again. And I was like, don't do that. Because I think that 10 car would be served at this point by another driver on a full-time basis. I think Stuart Haas Racing needs to rebuild completely for their Cup program. It's not strong anymore. They are not a top contending four team anymore. And that sucks. And I would like to see them kind of get back in the game a little bit. And with that, you need new faces. You need fresh faces. And I'm excited for Almirola. I think it'll be great to see him part-time capacity, being able to spend time with his family more. I mean, all these drivers want that. And Almirola made the choice to kind of take a step back to do that. Where he ends up part-time, Xfinity Cup, whatever it is, we don't know yet. But I think it's best for him, and I think it's best for the fans as well. And I'm curious to see who takes that 10 seat. We have rumors. We know who is rumored to be there. So we'll see.
Yeah, the rumors are heavy that Mr. Walk on the Wild Side himself. Colin, what say you? Eric Almirola officially going to at least a part-time capacity. The rumors are heavy that Noah Gragson might be the guy in that car. We shall see. Smithfield leaving the sport as well. So that is two major sponsors that Stuart Haas is losing in one season. Remember, Anheuser-Busch is going with Ross Chastain. We're all still waiting on that watermelon flavor, I assume. What say you about Eric Almirola stepping away maybe for good this time? Remember, he did retire a few years ago, or said he was going to retire, pardon me. And then midway through the season, he said, check that, it's all good. So what say you?
Yeah, I think he's not going to pull a Brett Favre like he did last time. He's actually going to go sit off right off in the sunset and, you know, I think live a happy life. He's coming off of his worst statistical career year that he's ever had in the NASCAR Cup Series. And, you know, the writing was on the wall that new blood is coming into Stuart Haas Racing. But, I mean, yeah, they lost Busch. They're losing Smithfield. And there's rumors that there might be another major sponsor leaving that team as well. So SHR is going to be taking a huge hit in 2023. They're going through a full rebuild. This is like Oakland, Las Vegas Raiders type rebuild here. They're going to clear house, I assume, in the offseason in 2024. I think you're going to see a lot of brand new faces in SHR. So And like Taylor said, it does suck because SHR probably had one of the most dominating cars, the four car in 2020. They won 9 races. It was the most dominating team in probably the modern era of NASCAR history, and they couldn't even get it done then. So it's sort of just in the span of 2 or 3 years, they have become quickly a bottom tier four team, and you kind of hate to see that.
Yeah, you hate to see any team kind of hit the downward trend, but if there's hope for Stuart Haas, look at RFK. We've seen them have to rebuild for years and years, and now they're on the upswing. And I mean, it wasn't out of contention for both the drivers to be in the round of 8 and for Buescher to be in the round of 4. So there's hope there. I personally think that Tony, and this is just my opinion, purely speculation, I don't want anybody suing me saying I said something I don't know nothing about. I think he could sell in the next 2 or 3 years, depending on how things go. It doesn't feel like his heart is in NASCAR right now. They have a very complicated relationship, as we know. He's got his fingers in a lot of different pots. I feel like that maybe, depending on how things go in 2 or 3 years, we could see him say, see you later, because he's not too thrilled with the sport anyway. And anytime he's not doing something NASCAR-related, he takes every chance he can to let people know that he's not too thrilled with how NASCAR is handling things. That's just my personal Loganity take and opinion. I don't know anything other than what comes in here in this cocoon of chaos. So we'll see what happens, but I don't know how long Tony has in this sport, at least currently. Ford is changing the Mustang body for 2024 to the Dark Horse. Did you see this mama jamma right here, this fine piece of fun? We saw Ford have issues this year and want the the front deck lid and all that changed. Colin, what'd you make of this brand new piece?
See, it's very interesting because we're in this next gen era, and all these cars are now looking more like their street comparisons, what we've seen in the past. And I'm all for it. I think the Dark Horse is this very interesting concept that they have coming up. I think Ford has, through all everything, has sort of revamped their whole entire motorsports program. They're going to be entering F1 as Red Bull's engine supplier in a couple years. They're going to be entering Le Mans next year with the Ford Performance GT3. I assume they weren't happy with Chevy doing the next gen, the Garage 56 program. They were not happy. So I would assume that Ford is trying to do something for Le Mans. It's coming up soon. There's rumors that might be happening. But my interesting thing is, if you look at the front, there's these flared front fenders.
Yes.
I've never seen on a cup car in a very long time, probably since the 70s or 80s. I don't know how Ford got away with that. I don't know what the aerodynamical advantage is on that. But if they come to Daytona and absolutely blast the competition away, then there's going to be some serious problems. But this also shakes up because Toyota is still in development. Before we went on air, Bob Pockers just dropped a bomb on us because – Toyota is still working on their car. We have no idea what Chevy's going to do because the Camaro no longer going to be a thing. It's gone. So what is Chevy going to do? What is Toyota going to do? I assume we're going to get a TRD upgrade to the Camry. But with Ford, this is the biggest swing out of all the manufacturers that we've seen so far. And heck, maybe Chevy may just go to Cadillac. We don't know. But that'd be kind of cool. One in Cadillac XTS in the Cup Series, it'd be kind of cool.
It's one of the great things about this sport is that the rumor and innuendo is almost as good as the actual sport. So it's fun to think about. A couple of comments to get to. Matt Marr says, with the revolving door changes happening at SHR, it reminds him a bit of Haas racing the bull back in the day. The King of the Hill is tuned in. Hey, Ryan, how you doing, brother? I love you. How you feeling? One more race, and then you can finally be on to Daytona. He's a Logano guy. Taylor, I want your thoughts on the new Ford style, the new Mustang, the Dark Horse. Colin had a lot there. What say you?
I mean, Colin took the words out of my mouth a little bit. I mean, those front fenders, like I was shocked they got away with that myself. I was like, I feel like this could be really good aerodynamically for them, just knowing how behind the eight ball Ford has been. I mean, the drivers, we got an article up on TobyChristie.com. I know the drivers have talked about it. Like Kozlowski's excited, Blaney's excited. Everyone seems hopeful that this model for the Fords will bring them the speed that they were lacking this season. And then of course, like you said, Colin, Bob Pockrest drops the bombshell, like, hey, Chevy should be good to go sometime soon. Toyota should be good to go sometime soon. what are they going to bring to the table? You know, so I'm just excited to see all of this on track when the time comes, and just seeing how well or how much farther advanced these Gen 7 cars are with this new type of model.
All right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Of course, we'll keep you up to date, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see. 2024, this sport has such a short off season. It's never too soon to think about it. There's something so insane about this beautiful thing we call NASCAR. anywho, it's time for our weekend preview. That's right. Mario Brothers got nothing on us. Anywho, it's time for the championship preview and prediction edition of the weekend preview, because we are finally down to it. The nitty gritty, and I don't mean dirt band. It's time for Phoenix, the championship weekend. So for the trucks, you got Grand Infinger, you got Corey Heim, you got everyone's favorite Carson Hocevar, and you got the bad Mamma Jamma himself, who hopefully has worked on his tolerance, Ben Rhodes. All right. So, Taylor, I'll start with you. You know, who do you got your eye on this weekend? We're down to it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think Ben Rhodes, obviously, because he's won the championship at this track before, right? And you can't count him out. But it hasn't really been his year. So I look at Hocevar for sure. He's been one of the strongest contenders in truck this season, and it's hard to bet against him. But also Corey Heim. I mean, he's been really strong this season, and it's hard to also bet against him. So. But there's also a really good story with Grant Enfinger. The last race for GMS before they close their doors. And I would love to see him just kind of take it and walk away into the sunset. So I think if I'm being realistic, though, my eye is on Heim or Hocevar for this championship. So we'll just have to see.
All right, Colin, what say you? What do you got your eye on as far as, you know, you got any favorites for the championship four truck series wise?
You know, I think based on speed, no one has a faster truck than Corey Heim. That Tricon Garage has done something special. They have taken pretty much everything that Toyota has given them, because they're the de facto Toyota team, and sort of taken the ball from 2023 and really ran with it. But to be honest with you, the most impressive person I think the entire truck series team this season has been Carson Hocevar. This is his not only GMS Racing's swan song, but this is probably his swan song too, because he's probably going to the Cup Series or the Xfinity Series next year. But also, there's another storyline. This is the last race for KBM, because KBM is shutting their doors down at the end of 2023. So, I mean, there's a lot of people leaving this truck series at the end of the year. We haven't really seen this in a very long time, where two teams are closing their doors. A lot of young drivers, Corey Heim, Carson Hocevar, they could be jetting off to another series. So there's going to be a lot of change at the end of 200 miles. And I'm going to be very excited to see how it plays out. But I'm going to take Carson Hocevar to win the race and the championship.
And Hocevar, he'll be going to Spire in 77 at Cup next year. So he's already, like, his plans are sealed. He's ready to go. I'm sure he wants to win this before he goes to Cup for sure.
No question. Carson Hocevar, he's another one of his fingers in a lot of different pots. He's riding around, hanging out with the King with Legacy Motor Club and eating hot dogs and playing games and doing the whole thing. As far as the Championship Award and Trucks goes, really, I think I feel this way about all three series. It's so wide open this year. There's so many great storylines. It would be great to see Grand Infinger get GMS, the kind of the walk-off Hail Mary. All right, we're going to shut our doors the right way. Carson Hocevar, kind of the same thing. You know, he's going to Spire. And, you know, Corey Heim, young gun, what a great story that would be. There's just not much to not be able to root for here. But I'm going to take Grant Enfinger to get it done. I think the veteran presence happens. Taylor, I think you made a great point about Ben Rhodes. I don't mean to poo-poo on him at all, but it just doesn't feel like he's got the mojo this year.
Yeah.
Anything can happen at Phoenix, and obviously he's been here twice, won it once. But I just don't feel like it's his year. Matt Marsh says it would be awesome to see Enfinger bring home for GMS and go out on a high note. But his vote is for Carson Hocevar. Who wouldn't vote for Carson Hocevar? Except me. Four wins and been super consistent in these good. It's a good thing to have before entering the Cup Series. You're not wrong. Of course, he is he's the rare case of, you know, he's making the jump from trucks to Cup. Of course, he's had a lot of Cup time this year due to the revolving door that's been the 42 this season at Legacy. No matter what, I think every winner is a great story, and so it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Taylor, I'm an Ohio guy too, so we'll be staying up late to watch that one.
Absolutely.
What's that, a 10 p.m.? Lordy.
It's ridiculous, yeah.
Lordy. All right. Let's move on to the Xfinity Series. Justin Allgaier, Cole Custer, Sam Mayer, and John Hunter Nemechek. That's your championship for there. Colin, I'm going to start with you this time. What do you got your eye on for the Xfinity Series?
See, I thought John Hunter Nemechek would be the guy going for the entire 2023 season. He's been the fastest. He's been the most consistent. But there's something about Sam Mayer in the past 10 weeks or so that's really caught my eye. Really, he's only won at road courses this season, and then he starts winning at ovals too. So now you're starting to think maybe this he has some special secret sauce. He has that Zaxby sauce going on. You know, you love it. You put it on everything. Gotta tell you. Shout out Zaxby's. Please sponsor us. Anyway. But as I think about it, I thought about it all day on my drive home. Justin Allgaier. I mean, this is the only series in NASCAR this weekend where any one of these champions is going to be a first-time champion. So I think the excitement level for this race is already going to be through the roof. Now, the only one I don't have any hopes for is Cole Custer. It's not that he isn't fast, and it's not that he doesn't deserve to be here, but he just hasn't had that consistent speed that we usually like to see going into a championship four race. He didn't do that well earlier in the spring. But I'm going to shock the world. I think Sam Mayer wins the race and the championship, which would be probably the biggest upset in championship four history for the Xfinity Series. Like, it would be, I mean, sort of he's the youngest guy to do it. And I think Sam Mayer gets it done. And also, shout out John Hunter Nemechek. He's leaving next year. He's going to Legacy, baby. He's going to Legacy. He's bringing the champion. He's bringing wins to Legacy Motor Club. Logan will be happy. Taylor will be happy. Look, we need Petty and Jimmy Johnson and Victory Lane together. That's all we need. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am. God knows I'm here for that. God knows. look, I'm a Legacy Motor Club guy, right? I'm not going to go against John Hunter Nemechek. It's just not happening. He's going to do what Noah Gregson couldn't do, and that's bring a championship on its way out. Look, really, in all seriousness, it's been his year, right? I mean, he's been the out-and-out star of the Xfinity Series. Cole Custer, now he is in the championship four where he quote-unquote belongs, but let's be honest, he's kind of underwhelmed. Justin Allgaier is kind of Denny Hamlin-esque in the ways he finds ways to lose championships. Sam Mayer is just not there quite yet. His future is bright. Don't worry. He's got to wear shades, but it's just not his day yet. John Hunter took the step back for these opportunities. I think he comes through and gets it done and wins the championship. Taylor, what say you?
See, Colin, you have really good points, and I was on board with you 100% until you chose your pick. I was like, I thought you were going where I was going with this.
He's got that secret sauce. He's got that secret sauce.
He does. And I think with Sam Mayer, like, it's not gut feeling. It's not shaping up to be like a Sam Mayer championship. I feel like he could dominate next year and get it next year, but this year feels like really out of the blue, even though it's not, right? Because he's won quite a bit. I look back at the race in the spring, and granted, it's spring to now fall, getting into winter at some point. And Justin Allgaier did really well in this Phoenix race until he got into it with his teammate, and then he didn't finish the race. I feel like Justin Allgaier, he is a driver that's able to, he has a few bad weeks, his team digs and digs and digs until they find the results they're looking for. And I think that, not surprised, but maybe surprised win at Martinsville is the momentum that 7-team needs to finally win a championship. So I agree. I think Cole Custer is probably not going to be a factor this weekend. I hate to say it. I'm sorry, but I don't. John Hunter Nemechek, if it's going to be a fight between anybody, it's John Hunter and it's going to be Justin Allgaier, because you cannot deny the Gibbs cars last year were leaps and bounds ahead of what Junior Motorsports brought to the track. So that's where I see the struggle being between Allgaier and John Hunter Nemechek, but I think Junior has figured it out, and I think Allgaier is going to get the championship.
Can I have a rebuttal here,
please? Sure.
Do it. Go for it.
The reason why I'm saying Sam Mayer is because we saw this last year in the Cup Series, and I think it can translate too. Sam Mayer was the only one in the championship, the Elite Eight, I assume, to win a race in the round of eight. He was the only one in the playoffs to win because Riley Herbst won the first round. Then Sam Mayer won it, then Allgaier. Sam Mayer has had more time to prepare for Phoenix because he didn't have to worry about Martinsville. He was locked in. So I think Mayer and Allgaier are going to be the strongest of the two, but I think Mayer gets it done.
I honestly would not be mad if Mayer won. Like, I think that'd be awesome. It'd be a little bit of a shock to me, but I think you have a really good point there, Colin. So we'll have to see.
I tell you, I think y'all are overthinking it. You act like you ain't watched 32 races and seen John Hunter own this piece.
But I'm just saying, that's what Logano did last year.
I feel like he's going to handle it.
He won the first race in the round of eight, and he was like, look, I can sit back and just chill, and I have prepare all – I have all this time to prepare.
I hear you, Colin. I hear you, and that's a great point, but it doesn't fit my narrative, so we got to move it along. That's just how it's got to go. All right, and then finally, the Cup Series. Of course, it's Christopher Bell. It's Ryan Blaney. It's Willie B., and it's Kyle Larson. So it's two Hendrick, one Ford, and a Toyota. Taylor, I'm going to start with you. Who do you got your eye on here? Is it who I think it is? I see a diecast there.
Yes. So here's the thing I'm telling myself this weekend. I am not picking who my heart and my gut is telling me to pick, because I'm going to jinx the crap out of this driver. So I'm not even mentioning it. I think, though, realistically, I'm going to say Blaney does have a great advantage going into this race. But this season feels like it's going to be a Hendrick Motorsports championship. It has that vibe to it. And I think Larson somehow, some way gets it. It's a gut feeling, even though I really do think that this Blaney's in the bag. The gut's telling me that it's going to be Larson. It just has the feel. That's all I can give you guys, because I also don't want to jinx anybody. So, yeah.
Well, we appreciate your professionalism, Taylor. We don't tend to bring that too much. Matt Maher has a comment here. He says, I've said Justin Allgaier all year, and he's going to keep saying it.
Yep.
Momentum is on his side, and he runs well at Phoenix. He does. It will come down to the one that makes zero mistakes, but Gator is finally going to get it done. We'll see if that happens. Matt, I got to disagree with you. I've heard people, I don't know, drivers with podcasts perhaps, say it's their year, and they might have tweeted that in September, and it aged like milk.
Matt brings up a good point. I do want to add this real quick. This is Blaney and Byron's first time in the championship four. It's a question of, can they handle the pressure? And when there's more pressure, there's a bigger chance for mistakes. So it's also a question of, in this first chance that they have in the championship four, are they going to be more mistake prone? Is that going to ruin their championship hopes? Larson's been in this situation and he's captured it before. So that's another thing that I'm weighing in my mind too. Which helps.
could be. Ben Rhodes talked about that on Race Hub last night, that he feels like if this was his first time, he'd feel a ton of pressure. But since it's not his first time, he said it feels like another race. And he said that, he didn't want to dismiss how big the championship is, but he's been there, so it's a different vibe. He said he thinks the other three are probably freaking out. I don't know. I don't know. I personally think Blaney's going to get it done. I really do. He runs great at Phoenix. And while he is certainly not Joey Logano, they found a way to get it done last year. And so I just feel like momentum is fickle, right? Well, currently he's hot. And so I think he's getting hot at the right time. I think Ryan Blaney gets it done and gets his championship. I really do. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is a Hendrick year. But William Byron is getting cold at the wrong time, and Larson has seemed to cool off as well. Something – I don't want to say a foul for Hendrick. Like, no, it's just they're insanely high standards of the Alabama of NASCAR. But something just doesn't seem to be clicking on all cylinders all of a sudden. Colin, who's your pick?
It's still Denny.
Denny's going to do it. Denny will win the race. But he's,
that's all well and good, but –
I'm going to say the champion doesn't win the race. I'm going to pick Denny Hamlin to win the race, but I'm going to say Christopher Bell gets it done. Oh. And you guys can use professionalism, and you guys can hide behind your moral standards, blah, blah, blah. But look, I'm off the clock, okay? I don't work for the newspaper from now until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. My professionalism is out the door. I'm a Toyota guy. I'm a Joe Gibbs Racing guy. Denny Hamlin is Christopher Bell's teammate. Mm-hmm. Denny Hamlin will wreck Kyle Larson. And William Byron. And he probably won't wreck Ryan Blaney. Ryan Blaney's cool. Well, not after last week, because Denny Hamlin was like, oh, he raced me like a dick, blah, 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 blah. Christopher Bell gets it done because in my heart, I want to see him win. I'm just happy because Ever since Tony Stewart left that 20 ride, that 20 car has kind of been up and down for the last couple of years. Matt Kenseth took it to heights that's never been seen probably since Tony Stewart left. And then Joey Logano, I can't believe I have to say this, but Joey Logano didn't really perform that 20 car. He just didn't get it done. But now Christopher Bell is the future, outside of Ty Gibbs, is the future of Joe Gibbs Racing. I mean, that's just it. He is the guy. He's probably the most talented guy in the NASCAR Cup Series outside of Kyle Larson. I think Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell are the most talented drivers in the championship four. But I think Christopher Bell, with Joe Gibbs' short track program and their intermediate program, I think they get it done. So that's the professionalism in me. I think Christopher Bell, he gets it done. He wins the championship, and Denny Hamlin wins the race because Denny always delivers.
Well, that's a spicy take. Last I checked, Kyle Busch was still in this series, right? So until he's not, it's going to be tough to say.
I'm sorry, but he didn't make it to the championship four, did he?
Hey, I hear you. I'm just talking about talent, my friend. All right. We got a closer down. It's getting close. So it's time for our racing refresh picks. All right, Taylor, if you haven't watched the show before, we play a little game here on Racing Refresh to make our picks. Think door bumper clear. And we're down to the nitty-gritty. NASCAR Talks and Opinion News with Stephen Jones says, Mr. Thriller Ryan Blaney has help, and he has Joe and Chase. Ryan is tired of seeing his friend Chase winning hardware. He probably is a little tired of seeing his friend Chase winning hardware. But Chase misses winning hardware. I can promise you that. Yep. So... with that, if you've seen Door Bumper Clear, you kind of know the game. Let's bring in producer Peggy to update us on the score. I know who's winning it all. I'm not going to give any. Never mind.
I don't like this game.
So, the updated score, if I can find it, Colin won last week.
Yeah! Look at that!
Good job, Colin.
I don't even remember who I picked. I think it was like Josevar or somebody.
You had Eric... Wait. Sorry. Adam won, not Colin.
Oh.
Boo. Nice.
Good job, Adam. Won with Eric Almirola. And because it is the last week, our picks are actually set for us. Colin, you have Allmendinger. Logan has the 38 car. I have Justin Haley. And Adam has the 51 car.
We're scraping the bottom of the barrel, Taylor. We are absolutely sucking. I hate this game. By the way, I'm the senior open wheel rider here. Does anyone care that there's a Formula One race in Abu Dhabi? Does no one care? No, sorry. Sorry, it's in Sao Paulo. It's in Brazil. Does anyone care? I feel like no one cares, right? Max Verstappen won the championship. No one cares. I mean, meh.
Not this week. Producer Greg, any thoughts on the championship?
You're echoing, Logan. There you go. Attaboy.
On Max Verstappen's championship?
No.
Obviously, Ryan Blaney's going to win it all, and that's all I have to say.
I like that pick.
All right. You have to show Taylor who your favorite driver is. You have the – is it?
Oh.
So Peggy went through this phase. I don't know if you've seen the Cars movie.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, Chase raced a lot.
Love it. I have that, actually. I have Chase race a lot. Yeah, Ryan inside Laney. I got all of them. I love that.
Went through a phase.
Hey, that's okay to have a phase. I will say this weekend, Sunday, like, I'm having my Blaney gear on. I'm ready. Like, I'm going to be so biased this weekend, and I'm okay with it. So, I'm ready.
Take so far.
I'm just here to watch the race. Like I don't if Denny Hamlin was in it, I would have my shrine to Denny Hamlin. All my iRacing cars all year had the FedEx paint scheme on it. Now they don't. He disappointed me, just like everything else. It's fine.
All right, we gotta hit closing time.
I'm gonna Orioles fan.
The Ravens are good. Colin. It's an hour show. Let's hit closing time.
Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles, but now he's coming back.
If you've never watched before, closing time is where we can say literally pretty much whatever we want as long as you're not going to get sued. So, Taylor, you have the floor to say whatever you'd like to talk about right here and right now.
Oh, God, that's terrifying. Well, just thank you for having me, first off. I appreciate being here and getting to share some of my opinions. I'm usually in the hosting role, so having a chance to kind of talk a little bit more, it's always really exciting, so thanks. I guess follow me on social media, @_TaylorKitchen_, TikTok, Twitter, and then @AboveTheOlaLine, literally everywhere else, for just more NASCAR news and creative content.
Now, you'll come back next season, won't you?
Yes, of course.
All right.
Send me an invite.
Have you enjoyed it? I hope so.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you.
We're zany. We're wacky.
We really are. It's not insanity. It's Loganity. I tell you, it's the truth. Colin, final words.
So I did research on Taylor before she came on because I'm fortunate. I'm sorry. I was unfamiliar with your product and your brand, but I am now a subscriber to you on all your platforms. So there you go. But I saw a video of your 2023 predictions, and I just want you to know you were wrong on pretty much almost all of them.
Here's the one that I got right, and I am thrilled about. Rained out Charlotte Coke 600 weekend. I predicted that in January. It happened. Insanity.
Yeah, but you said your championship four would be like none of the big teams. You said it was going to be some underdog. You said like Roush Fenway Kozlowski, Trackhouse, like Joe Gibbs wasn't going to make it. Penske wasn't going to make it.
Yeah, my championship four, it was Harvick, Blaney, Elliott, and someone else. And I said Harvick was taking the championship because I wanted to be wild, and that was so wrong. And I can sit here and say I was very, very wrong, and I'm embarrassed by it, but that's okay. Yeah, you're right. My predictions were awful.
But
Matt Morris says, it's nice to meet you, Taylor. It's been a pleasure. And Colin, you know, for you to talk about someone else's predictions, you predicted that on Jeff Gluck's Twitter poll, the Chicago Street Course would not be a good race. It was widely considered a good race.
It's only because it rained. It was a good race because it rained. Well, if it was dry, I was on iRacing and I couldn't even get past turn one.
We're dealing with absolutes here.
But I'm not a professional. But I will say my closing time is, thank you to Kevin Harvick. Thank you for all the memories that you have made for us. You are the last driver to have raced with Dale Earnhardt in a racetrack. I was a fan of NASCAR in 2000. That's when I first started watching races. Kevin Harvick was the last driver that connected me to the beginning of my NASCAR fandom. He'll still be with us for the Fox Sports booth, so that'll be nice. We won't have to hear Danica Patrick at Phoenix races anymore. Thank you. God, but I still have to listen to her F1 races, Taylor. So this sucks for me. All right. And the Indianapolis 500. I don't know why she's there, but she's talking to Mike Tirico, but you know, whatever. Doesn't matter. But thank you, Kevin Harvick, for all the memories. Your final paint scheme looks like every NASCAR beer scheme from every NASCAR video game ever. If you just think about it, it just says Harvick on it instead of Bush. It's like you didn't even get the adult DLC or anything. So thank you, Kevin Harvick. And yeah, just enjoy NASCAR Championship. We have a long off season ahead of us, people. We have 2 months of no NASCAR. And then January rolls around and we'll be back and Taylor will be back and everyone you love and follow will be back. Just get through it. We still have F1. So, you know, but at the same time, do you care?
Well, with that,
hear more, but Max Verstappen wins everything. So,
I enjoyed those final words. But we really got to go, Taylor. Yeah. Thanks for coming on. We greatly appreciate it. We hope you'll be back. We hope you had fun.
Absolutely, thanks for having me.
And with that, we hope you all enjoy this championship weekend. And I'd be remiss if I didn't just take a moment and say we lost Bob Knight earlier today, and that's tough. The general was one of one. I can promise you that.
And Suzanne Summers, RIP.
RIP, Suzanne Summers.
She just passed away. The notice came by like a couple minutes ago. So if you watched Three Companies as a kid, you know.
All right. So with that, we will see you next week, and hopefully we'll be there for you. With that, we'll see you next week, and we'll see you at the next track. We're out of here.